Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And we're here just another day. Thank God that we're able to get into the Word of the Lord. Like the Bible said, the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, in mine heart, that I might not sin against me, knowing that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we got to have His word. So good to be here. Brand new week, another brand new month, the month of April. And so we just thank God that we're privileged to be able to look into the mirror, as James says, the perfect law of liberty, the mirror, which is the Word of God. So you want to look in there. So you want to see yourself, that you can see yourself in the mirror, then there is progress in the Word of God. So we thank God that we're here on a brand new opportunity. Thankful for all the blog talk friends and followers, all the Facebook followers and friends and listeners, and also all the Twitter followers, listeners, and friends. So, good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. So, like people say, how are you doing? I'm good. So, yeah, got a mind to be saved, and that's good. So, just a blessing. Be able to get into the Word of the Lord. So, one thing about the Bible, it's good news. So, good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ascension when He went back to heaven, and sending back the Holy Ghost, as was done on the day of Pentecost, which the prophet Joel wrote about. It coming to pass, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. So, part of that has come to pass. And upon my servants and my handmaids shall I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And there's another part to that that is yet to come to pass. You read in the book of Joel, but or Joel, whichever way you want to pronounce it. So we're glad to be here. It's good for us to be here in God's Word. So it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, looking at God's Word, like I said, coming to pass. So we always, sometimes they say, you got to think. You got to think. People try to make fun. And you know, the bottom of it is the devil, to make fun of people, because in Christendom, it's based on believing. So he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is what you have to do as a believer. So also, we want you to know that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this is what Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. So this is the letter to the church at Ephesus. So he wanted them to know that. So we're just glad to be here. And we're going to continue where we left off in the book of Philippians on last week, and knowing that we are still talking about our topic, the Godhead. So, but we are coming out of the book of Philippians, so making that known, like God always wanted Israel to know. It's the same message, that there is only one God. And like we made mention on last week about Israel wanting a king and how God let them have what they wanted. They had Saul, the son of Kish. And so we mentioned on last week about how he didn't obey God. So God had said he was going to, one of his neighbors, he was going to raise up, talking about David, the son of Jesse, and he's going to fulfill all his word through him. So David, Jesse, father, David's father was Jesse. And so anyway, that is the lineage that the Lord Jesus Christ came through, the lineage of David. So we know the generations of Christ. When you read in the Gospels, it'll tell you 14, 14, and 14, beginning with David, and then goes on talking about the all the way down to Jesus Christ. So you hear people say he came down through 40 and two generations. That is true. He did. So we thank God for that. So I believe that is in the book of Matthew. So anyway, God is always is going to fulfill his will. So that's, and then the scriptures are consistent. So we can see that when we search the scriptures. That's what Jesus said, St. John 5 and 39, search the scriptures, when then you think you have life, and they are they, talking about the scriptures, which testify of me. So the word of God is consistent. So sometimes people get caught up in who translated the word of God and all, but it doesn't matter about that. I say, and then how we say things about translators or whatever, but one thing I see when you look in the scripture, some of the things that they say about certain ones who translated, and they don't want to take it because of the way or the particular lifestyle of the translator had, according to some, then he really did a good job of putting himself in there too. That be the case. So anyway, talking about the 42 generations. So it's in Matthew 1 and 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So 14 and 14 and 14 is 42 generations. So that's where you get that term from, or you hear that, say that he came down through 40 and two generations. So he was made of a woman. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, that he may be made like unto his brethren. So that's in the book of Hebrews 2:14. So he definitely is our great high priest, which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So definitely was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So that's why Isaiah says, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall go up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. We shall see him, there no form nor comeliness shall we desire. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, stricken, smitten, and smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, are gone astray. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. How he went to judgment to judgment. Goes on to say, who shall declare his generation? Talking about Jesus. So here on today, so last week we were talking about how he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you search the scriptures and you go through the scriptures, there's consistency in the scriptures. So that's the greatest mystery of all times, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So he became a man. So that's why we read in the intro, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we go on with the intro. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We don't read the whole thing, and so same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So this is in St. John, the first chapter. I want to go back there because usually I don't. I just have the intro. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time reading the intro. But so there's a reason. That was the reason why I didn't put the whole thing in there. So verse 4. So all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's verse 3. Verse 4 and 5, I believe. See, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I got that in there. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So see, we see it changes, the subject. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light. This is in St. John, the first chapter, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Then, verse 10 is what I have after I skipped 3, so 4 through 9, I omitted in my intro. So he was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. I omitted that one, but as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, which are born, that even them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So then I put this one in, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Point being, just like the Hebrew writer says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. This is in the third chapter of the Hebrews. Jesus, the Son of God, has passed into the heavens. He said, let us hold fast our profession. And he goes on to say, for we have not a high priest. In other words, what he's saying is the high priest that we have, he can be touched. So he says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's biblical language. But was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. So you read in the Peter's letters, he talks about the suffering of Christ. Isaiah talks about the suffering of Christ. And so in the book of Philippians, that he is talking about also, his subject that he's talking about is suffering. But he's putting that right in with us. So anyway, going back to make one point, so says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So go back, right back where in the Hebrews where I was. So he says about Jesus that we have the high priest, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So it used to be a throne of judgment. Now it is a throne of grace. So we may that we may obtain mercy. Let us come boldly, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So that's the faithfulness of God. And so he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we got to keep knocking. So he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Said, to everyone that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be open. So you got to keep on. Like they say, you got to keep on believing. The ETH, and that's what Scripture says. Jesus said himself about the gospel. I believe St. Mark 16 and 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he goes on to say, he that believeth, that ETH on the end, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to keep on believing. So it's so very important to do so. So sometimes people wonder, like I was saying last week, as a child of God, you're going to suffer. So you need to know what the Word of God has to say about it, because the devil is out to blow your mind, and that is what the whole spiritual warfare and the whole spiritual battle is, nothing but a mind game. So that's why the Scripture says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So what you think, you got to think on some things. So it's even the writer here in the Philippian church, the wrote to the church at Philippi. I just fast forward a little bit. So he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things which ye have heard, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So this is Apostle Paul when he wrote. This is one of his prison epistles when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And so go back, he was letting them know about who began this work. So he always kept them in his prayer. And he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he, even as meet as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense, the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So anyway, he goes on, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, and much more, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he goes on, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of good will. One preach Christ of contention and contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but others, the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. This is what you got to do. So, and I think last week where we were talking about verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So he goes on, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So it is a suffering way when you walk with God. So it's not a bunch of drunks and all that. So that's the folly of that one church that started after Nicene Council in 320 A.D., and it's known as the mother of harlots, that sitteth upon many waters, and the waters are people in the 17th chapter of Revelation, and you can figure out what church that is. So Peter was not in that church. Peter was the apostle that chose by the Lord Jesus Christ, had the keys and opened up the church on the day of Pentecost, also down in Samaria, and also to down in the at Cornelius' house to the Gentiles. So you got to be sincere. You got to walk with God. You can't be in and out and so-called, there's no drunkards and all of that. You know, you can't just say, people say, are you saved? And you say, I'm so-and-so. No, question is, are you saved? The question is, have you been born again? The question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The question is, have you been baptized the correct way? And that is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38, and go on down. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And this is on the day of Pentecost. Then many more were added after then. So the Acts of the Apostles is the Acts of the Holy Ghost that worked through the 12 men whom the Lord chose. So that's why they call it the apostolic doctrine, because it's that what the apostles did. So we got to do what they did. And so even in the church at Corinth, Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the church, the Corinthian church, which he started, and he let them know that you got to be in this thing all the way. So they had envy and strife and all these things, said you walk as men. You know, they were children. Said I couldn't feed you with meat, but with meat. But I had to feed you milk, because that's the way they acted, like babes in Christ. So he went on here in the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And he goes on to say, "And such were some of you, but now are you washed, now are you sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So he's writing to people in the church that have been baptized in the name of Jesus, have been baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that's the one baptism, the water and the Spirit. Like Jesus says, you must be born again. Except the man be born of water and the Spirit. That word water, he doesn't say the, but he says born of water and of the Spirit. So we've baptized people in various places. So I remember one Sunday years ago, we baptized 28 women in the name of Jesus in the prison system. Pool that we had, they can sit down in, and we buried them. And that's what baptize means, to bury. So we buried with them. So that means you go all the way under. You don't sprinkle nobody. That devil knows that is a lie. But we see the example when Jesus was baptized of John in the river of Jordan. So he was buried by baptism. Even John the baptizer, he baptized people with the baptism of repentance. And so he buried them in the water. And so that is the method. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So you can say the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. As long as you say in the name of Jesus is the main thing in baptism. That what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. So even in the days of Noah, when the suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, they were saved. Few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. This is in the book of Peter. It says they were saved by water. And Peter goes on to say, the like figure doth also now save us. So I'm going to go there. It's 1 Peter, I believe, the third chapter. So it's very essential and to be baptized in the correct manner, because you don't want to just go down wet center and come up a dry one, or go down a dry one and come up a wet one, whatever way you want to put it. But so, 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And that word quicken means to be made alive, "by which also he went." Now, who went? Christ did. That's the subject. Christ and God is the selfsame one, "by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient." There's the key. Once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing. There it is right there. "Wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." And he goes on, "the like figure doth even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities being made subject unto him." So in other words, it is God. He's not standing on his hand. That's just a terminology. Like somebody say, my right hand man. Oh, it's a place of power, place of authority. So your right hand, that's power. So that's just a biblical term. So he is God. And you read, God always say, and especially in the book of Isaiah, "I don't know of another God. Is there a God beside me?" He said, "I don't know of one." And he knows everything. So there's none with him, none after him, none before him, none beside him, because he is God all by himself. So this is the great mystery. So even the devils knew that Jesus was God. That's why they said, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God, or you come to torment us before the time. So you read in the Gospels that he suffered them not to speak. And some of the Gospels said, because they knew he was Christ. They knew who he was. So some people knew. They knew what the word said, and they would follow after him and do what he says. So that has been incumbent upon us to do that. So anyway, you need to know what the word says, and as far as being born again, then after you're born again, then people wonder why things happen to them while they are attacked, and things that they go through. So you don't have to feel bad. You can do spiritual warfare. You can battle, because it is a battle. It is spiritual warfare. So we were not wrestling against flesh and blood, but Ephesians, the 6th chapter, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God, as we are admonished by the Apostle Paul. So when you do that, so he goes on to say, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He goes on, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. That's why this broadcast is named Truth, because we're endeavoring to bring you the truth. And I know the devil don't want me to preach and proclaim and to teach the truth. So, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that's to protect your heart. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's another one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. So, and he goes on, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So there is a mystery, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So this is what Apostle Paul is saying. So it's all about Jesus. So this book of Philippians is a letting us know some things you are going to suffer. So that's what we talked about on last week. And even now, as we go on further here in the book of this church at Philippi. And so he goes on here, what we're going to talk about today. So, wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So the point being, we have to save ourselves. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, from this untoward generation. We should have the reverential fear of God. You should have your mind made up. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been born again. They call that sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is what Jesus says. In St. John, the 8th chapter. So he goes on to say, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the devil doesn't want you to know about the truth. And I didn't always know about this myself. So it's right. So you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again. So you're going to have that determination down on the inside. You're going to walk with God no matter what. Like the song says, I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Through hard trials, tribulation, persecution, I'll be faithful. I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. So we can see his, like I said, we can see his word being fulfilled. And what's so unique about it, you can see people, even like the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's that word doctrine. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created. And so nothing to be refused. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. He goes on to say, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, sure, okay. You can, people can eat grains and vegetables, and yes, it is. I mean, God created that. I mean, you can't put your, what you may have a problem with, high blood or something. You can't put that on somebody else and tell them they can't eat meat. So there, it's up to us. But whatever we choose to eat, whether it's chicken or fish or vegetables, whatever, you can't tell people to, you can't make a doctrine out of eating meat, make a doctrine saying you shouldn't eat meat. You can't do that. That is not the way that it goes. But every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused, the scripture says, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So it's a unique time that we're living in. We can see that some are departing from the faith. So it's still right. I mean, the gospel is for the Jew and also for the Greek. That's why he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We know in the Habakkuk 2 and 4 letter clause, the just shall live by his faith. So Apostle Paul is admonishing the people of God in Philippi when he wrote to the church, the Philippian church, some things that they had to do. So he goes on, as I read the scripture, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he goes on, is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So that is a thing that a lot of people have to work on, because we can, what happened to the children of Israel? They murmured and they complained. So not saying that we shouldn't say things, but God knows all about it. So we injustice is injustice. And some things I think injustice is like these oil companies that are making astronomical profits. I mean, you can be at the pump pumping gas one time a couple weeks ago, and it went up 40 cents before we were done. Lady across from me was pumping gas. I was pumping gas. And she said, "We look like we made it 40 cent in one whop." I mean, so they, but when they go down, they don't go down like that. They go down 2 or 3 cents here, a dime there, a nickel. So that's unjust. And so God is going to pay these people because the resources that are in the earth, God put them here. And I don't believe it was the will of God for us to be gouged for his oil, his gasoline, the what he put in the earth. And we're not going to run out of food. We're not going to run out of nothing. But it's so much greed. And so there is the problem. So that's why the scripture says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. So these greedy folks that don't want to pay their share of taxes, and it's a saying, and that's the way they act, that the poor have too much. This is the way rich people act, the greedy rich people, the arrogant, greedy rich people act like the poor don't have enough, and I mean the poor have too much. I'm sorry, they act like the poor have too much, and the rich don't have enough. These are the arrogant rich people. They act like the poor have too much, or the middle class, and the rich don't have enough. And so God is going to deal with that thing, because it's going to be a sad day. And at the great white throne, because these people ain't going to be in the church, the arrogant folks that think money is their God. And that's why you've heard me say before, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, have we done this in your name and that, and many wonderful works have we done in your name. I profess to him, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. So these greedy people, they think, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and cleave to the other, he will hold to the one and despise the other. And he goes on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. So some people, their God is money. They are greedy. So that's why Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that be not high-minded, but trust in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And he went on to let them know, charge them that they be ready to distribute, to communicate. In other words, you want to help somebody else along the way is what you want to do. That is the right thing to do. And I'm going to go there. Yeah, here it is right here. And so he goes on here. I'm going to go back a little bit. So sometimes people wonder, well, these greedy folks, they're going to pay because they think that the money is everything. So go on. He talks about things that people shouldn't do. So he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. So what that's talking about, godliness, it's not contingent upon what you have and you don't have, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Is that saying not do better? No, it's not. Is that saying you got an outside toilet, don't do better? No, it's not. But it's just saying about being content. So that's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not saying don't do better. So we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So he says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, notice this, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Notice what he's saying. For they that will be rich, in other words, I'm going to be rich no matter what. Some people got it in their mind. So that's why he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he goes on to say, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. For I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without rebuke, without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath our immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So he goes on here. Here's what I wanted to get to. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So he's not against people having. He's having things. He's against things having people. People putting things before God. Like previously he said, we didn't bring anything here. We're not going to take anything with us. So some people just worshiping things. Some people just have so much money, they're just glad to be making money, and they think that's all they need. The money is their God. So he goes on here to say that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So that's what's so important to do. You have to have balance. That realize that we're going to leave here. So we can see so many signs in the world on today, and so things we look back at. So the days of Noah and the days of Lot are key to what's getting ready to happen. So we know what happened. Lot's wife, when they got delivered out of there, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. So she didn't want to leave there. So you got to build your hopes on things eternal. Somebody, Abraham, was looking for a city. In the book of 11th chapter of Hebrews, says he looked for a city which hath foundations, plural. I'm still trying to get that too. A city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So that everything that you see is temporal. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the things that you see are temporal, but the things that you don't see are eternal. So we are spiritual. We're spiritual. We're body, soul, and spirit. We're spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul. Our soul is going to spend eternity either with God or out of the presence of God. So it behooves us to get ourselves ready. So this is where God is coming back to redeem the soul. Is what he's coming back for. Spirit's going back to God. Body's going back to the dust. He's coming to redeem the soul. So this is, it's so hard for people to believe. And Enoch is the type of the church, like I mentioned on last time. He was translated that he should not see death. And as it is appointed unto men to die, in the book of Hebrews 9:27, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered for many, and so he offered himself. So them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Notice that word, appearance. So he's going to appear. He's going to take his church out of here. So people are going to wonder what happened. So I never thought that I would see the day that we're living in. Just like I mentioned on last week, about marriage and about how God made them male and female from the beginning. That's the key right there. He made them male and female. It was never the will of God, not God's will. And God, you have ordinances and you have, like we have the Constitution, we have rights and all these things we have. Yes, we do. But when they conflict with God's word, then God is not pleased with that, and it doesn't matter who like it. So, like I said, years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, before they came up with that term, so-called term, sexual orientation, that's foolishness. But he made man, he made the woman for the man. And so it is now. I mean, so people can do what they want. That's hell to be their home. So you got to do what God wants, be born again first and foremost, so you can inherit the kingdom of God. So you want to do the thing that's right. So that's against nature. So you read even in the Old Testament and in the New. So people say they don't see it. You got to read closer. So you, during Jesus' time, they were still under the law until after his death, burial, and resurrection, when he brought a new and living way. After his death, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. So now we have access that we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So that's the Old Testament ending, the New Testament starting. So you can't, it's illegal. It's, God is still against it. And so you cannot marry the same gender. So it doesn't matter. So here's the point. I want to make this perfectly clear, like this Richard Milhouse Nixon, the late president, used to say. I'm going to make it perfectly clear. All of these states can pass same-sex marriage, civil unions, whatever little so-called nice terminology that they want to call it. You can do whatever you want. As far as passing these little laws, these little ordinances, so they can get insurance, so they get recognized with their partner or whatever, but it stinks in God's nostrils. And here's the key right here, and get it straight. Don't get it twisted. God doesn't recognize a civil union or a same-sex marriage. He doesn't recognize that foolishness, and he never will, because it's against nature. You cannot marry the same gender, and it's against God, and it doesn't matter who don't like it. He doesn't recognize that foolishness. So that's a perverted spirit. So you got to look at words. Biblical words are important. There were those who perverted the gospel of Christ. So that's why he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, that which we have preached, let him be accursed. He went on, I said it before, I say it again. If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Notice what he said. This is in the Galatians, the first chapter. He says, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So his word is right all by itself. So it behooves us to make sure that we keep it. So go on the verse that we wanted to get to, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. So he goes on, lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So this is what he was trying to do, is to get people to see. Just like he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he was an example. I mean, he rejoiced because he had a vision of what was going on. So when he wrote those, we call prison epistles, he had a candlelight, rats and roaches and water. Wasn't no nice jails like they are nowadays. They were in prison. That was nasty. I mean, that was bad as where animals live, rats and roaches and all that. And so he knew that he had a hope to be with Christ, which is far better. So he wrote the letter to them. So that's why he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So it's needful for me to be with you. So him sitting at the feet of Gamaliel and knowing what he did, he knew the law backwards and forward. Like somebody said, his degrees had degrees. He was a learned man, and so he wanted to help the church. And so he thought he was doing God's service. That's what Jesus had said in the 16th chapter of St. John. Says it's going to come to pass that he that persecuted you, he's going to think that he's doing God's service. That's exactly what Apostle Paul did. He thought that he was doing God's service, but he was on the road to Damascus, and he saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. And the original text says, who art thou, Jehovah? And Jehovah said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So he was blind for 3 days. Somebody had to lead him by the hand, a little unknown man, a preacher, someone said, by the name of Ananias, came on him and said, the Lord, he was scared. The Lord said, he's a vessel that's going to bear my name for the children of Israel and for the Gentiles. I must show him how what great things he must the things that he's going to suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias appeared unto him, and he said, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately the scales fell from his eyes. So he told him, he said, why tarriest thou? Wash away thy sins. Said, how are you going to do that? Calling on the name of the Lord. So you can see in the 9th chapter of the Acts, the 22nd chapter and the 26th chapter of Acts, when he gave his testimony to King Agrippa. So he said, almost persuadest thou to be a Christian. So he said, I would together that you were such as I am, except these bonds. In other words, I don't want you to be bound like I am. So he asked him, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Then he went on, he answered it himself. He said, I know that thou believest. So he said, I wish you was like I am, but I don't want you to be bound like I am. So, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's Timothy, shortly unto you, that I may also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Talking about Timothy. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself will come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow servant, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants, for he long after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Then he goes on to say, For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So our time is about up for this time. So we'll see you on next time. And God bless you real good. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Mm-hmm.